భక్తి సంతిరక్షమందంశ్రయామి శ్రీ చైతన్య మనోభీష్టం యైన భూతలే అయం రూపాయంతికం పంచభౌపాయ్యో నమో నమ శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య శివాసరిందరే కృష్ణ 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 more space here too. Some people want to move there. We could just add, not the first row, but everybody else move up maybe just a little bit.
There's okay. Room here that alcoves as well.
Okay. Just so the people come in the back there. And, okay. Can you put the rest of your seat? Which maybe I can also share with you of speaking, it's always good to, if the speaker is like the actor or the subject, and kind of the audience is like the object, you know, they're being acted upon. And generally, people are more focused when they're the actor than acted upon. And therefore, you may notice that when you actually speak, you're very, very concentrated. People are very rarely bored with their own talk, even if everyone else is. So, one good thing is when you're speaking is to make the audience the actor also. It gets them involved. It was amazing. I got invited to speak to the St. Albans School. This is a school where people like Al Gore went to school and are graduates and things like that. I was going to speak to the whole student body, 250 students and all their teachers. We walked into this beautiful chapel with the organ music, and it was very, very impressive. And then they had this kind of dais, you know, in the front, and they have these wood chairs that kind of don't face the audience, but they face each other, and the two main speakers sit that way. I guess that's really like when you're really above everyone, you don't even look at them. You kind of sit there, and then you speak to the audience. And, you know, they asked me to speak on the Golden Rule. You know, it's... I was kind of meditating what to speak on, and I gave them a meditation at the beginning. And the meditation was to think of a person that you admire most. And then all of a sudden, the 250 students from 10 years old to 14 or 15, they're absorbed thinking. And then asked, what are the qualities in them that you admire most? And they were deeply, deeply thinking. And then I told them that I hope you weren't thinking of movie stars or rock musicians or athletes, unless they were kind, compassionate, generous, and had all spiritual qualities. It's a nice kind of meditation for them. It's also a nice meditation for us, and it's a lot of what bhakti is about. Bhakti is about bringing good qualities into your heart. And one of the ways you do that, Prabhupada said we advance by appreciation. One of the ways we do that is we have exemplars. And that's what the whole Bhagavatam is about. It's about exemplars, but exemplars of what? Exemplars of devotion. Exemplars of people who are selfless and sacrificing. Then I told him the person I was thinking about, but it was kind of more for the talk itself, my uncle, who was one of the four chaplains. Found out later that there's actually a stained glass panel of him in the church. Because he wasn't self-centered. Hope you're not thinking about someone who's self-centered. Sometimes we meditate on, you know, people that are self-centered. And what does that mean? That's what I want to become. I want to be in the center. But there's a problem with being in the center. Hey, I'm just getting back my karma for the times that happened to me. The problem with the center is when you put yourself in the center, you move yourself away from the place where love can fill your heart. If you put yourself in the center, and you think yourself the subject, and you see everything else as objects for you, which is what the modern world promotes with its exemplars. Get to the center. Move to the center. You can enjoy, Guy Ramaswamy and myself, we have one very favorite good writer, Tom Wolfe, and he wrote this book about my generation, which wasn't the greatest generation. It's called the Me Generation. The people put themselves in the center. And so that's where love flows, and that's the position where we want to be. Today we're going to undergo kind of, it's a little bit of a ritual, right? But ritual has a bad name, but not if it's done properly. And what is ritual? Ritual is how you organize the world to conform to something greater than yourself. That's what ritual is. I'll say that again. Finally, my ritual is to conform the world to something greater than yourself. So in a proper culture, you have gurus. But who is guru? Guru is anyone who represents knowledge. There's one famous verse in the Bhagavad Gita. It says, Acharya mam vijanayam navamanyek tathari chit. One should see the Acharya, the Guru, as my very self. Krishna says that. When we actually analyze and get a little bit deeper into the purports, who is the Guru? Anyone who represents God by representing knowledge. Because what is the cause of suffering? The cause of suffering is ignorance. Ignorance is defined in the Yoga Sutras as when the pure, eternal, blissful self identifies with the impure, temporary, and miserable body. So it's knowledge. And who represents knowledge? Who do you see as God? Your parents. That's the culture. And what a responsibility it is to be a teacher, to be a parent, to be a husband or a wife. What a responsibility it is. One time we went into Prabhupada's room, and everyone was there in Prabhupada's room. And then Prabhupada, who is a very, very good teacher, he kind of challenged everyone there. He said, so you call yourselves teachers? Now, what is the purpose of education? And I remember different people gave numbers. They gave answers with numbers. Dayananda, some of us know, he said nine things. And that was from the verse in the Bhagavatam where it says, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Sati. You chant, you hear, you remember. You serve, you worship God, give nine things. The seventh canto wasn't out yet. Do you know what Prabhupada thought? How did he get the seventh canto? It wasn't yet out yet. You know, he wanted to, maybe he was going to print it himself or something, Prabhupada thought. Then someone said four things. Manmana baba madbhakto madhyajima. You think of me, you remember, you give everything. Manmana, the mind, Baba Mad Bhakto, Madhyaji, you worship, Mandalas, you pay obeisances. Sometimes you get answers, but they're not what you wanted. Prabhupada wanted the core answer. Prabhupada quoted from the Bhagavatam. He said, Guru Nasasyat, Vajani Nasasyat, Kitan Nasasyat. Don't become a guru. Don't become a parent. You know, don't take any responsibility for anybody else unless you can actually give them knowledge. When you represent that, the person who represents that for you He should be respected with great faith. And not that that person himself identifies with that position. It's not that the person, if one's a parent or a teacher, he's just looking down, I am the Lord of all I survey. Because that person also has a teacher. That person also has a parent. He's looking up. And that's the qualification of a person who can take that position. Because what are we teaching? We're teaching people that if you want to be happy, you have to develop a mood of service and humility. When I was at the chapel and I explained many things, it was a hit. As the chaplain came up to me yesterday, you can't miss when you tell war stories to children. Because the story was, my uncle was, it's a true story, huh? He was a chaplain on the USS Dorchester. Now everybody was kind of like, they gave a kind of spaced out, now they're all listening, what's happening? He was a chaplain on the USS Dorchester. He was a rabbi, and then there was a Catholic priest, and then there was a Lutheran and a Dutch Reform. They had kind of the... And the ship got sunk. Even Henry heard the story in the chapel. He's still on the edge of his seat. The ship got sunk. And it went down. There were 1,000 people on the ship. Only 250 survived. And it wasn't managed properly. There weren't enough lifeboats. There weren't enough life jackets. And the people who lived, they remembered my uncle giving his life jacket to someone else. They remembered him giving his gloves and lying about it, that I have another pair. And they remember the four chaplains on the ship, arm in arm, singing the Psalms of David. Then I asked the students, think what you would do in such a service. I know what I would do. I would get in the boat, and then I would look up to all the other nervous people, and I would say, only sannyasis. Maybe some Prabhupada disciples, but no way. And go back to my room and you know, get this. But I'm just thinking to meditate on the realization someone actually has when they realize they're eternal and they realize what they are as an eternal soul. Oh, that's such a beautiful thing. The perfected state of a living entity is called the divinity. It doesn't mean a hard thing. It means a devotee of God, who is Krishna, and seen in other ways. The perfected state of a living entity. The spiritual life means somehow, I was explaining this to the students, like, a lot of them are really nice. They're very respectable, some of them. You know, 14-year-old boy shaking my ass. The joke is Henry, too. I didn't say my uncle was a rabbi. I said he was, you know, a minister. I just said it was already enough that I was a Hindu. Yeah, I gave them enough that they can digest at one time. But they would shake my hand and just like very, you know, very, thank you. They wanted to hear. And I explained, that's what spiritual life is. We are in this consciousness. And it's a consciousness we have to work through. We can't just throw it out. There's a very scientific system of how you deal with your desires to purify them. And it's not one set recommendation that everyone has this much for this little. There's different degrees. But the principle is there. The
principle is there. We may work through this consciousness. We may enjoy to live. But don't live to enjoy. Don't live to be in this position because you'll miss love. You'll miss, and love is happiness. You'll miss it. The happiest people are the people, whether they are rich, whether they are poor, whether they are powerful, whether they are not, the most happy people are the people who have the consciousness that I am part of God and meant for God's service, which is also service to everyone, because everyone is part of God. And that person, and that's Bhakti, that's how, you have to get that spirit to get there. You can't buy a ticket to get there. You have to have that spirit to get there. Somehow, what is that spirit? That spirit of love and devotion in your heart to God. And you can. And every problem we have is because we don't have enough of it in our heart. Because if you don't have enough love and devotion in your heart, and you really don't want to be what you are, which is a servant of God, then you'll think you're something else. And what will you think? The enjoyer. I'm the controller. I'm the center. Even coming here, I was analyzing my mind as I was driving the car. Because generally I don't worry about things, but somehow it's some kind of festivals. I worry. Everything should be in sure. That's why I try not to get involved. I try to just tell her at the beginning, okay, we discussed once, and when I come here, we discuss once. But I was just saying, actually, what is all worry? What is all anxiety? All anxiety is because the world is not going the way we want it to. And you know how you solve that problem? You develop the mood, I am a servant. Because then it doesn't matter which way the world goes. Because they're all opportunities to be a loving soul and surrender to God. And then a sober person like that, even at death, he's not disturbed. I saw that with my Guru Prabhupada at death. He was not disturbed. He was completely, Veera's touching him, he's completely sober. Because he had realized that. So bhakti is the process of getting that sentiment in your heart. And how do you get that sentiment in your heart? By Bhaktivinoda. I know Lakshmi is a great fan of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. I read the book. You know, he said something. I was preparing that bhakti seminar. And, you know, in that Jiva Dharma, he just said, you know, that he said, the way he said it, every vastu means a substance. Every substance has a shakti or potency. And he said, objects of devotion and acts of devotion have a potency to give devotion, to give that spirit to want to be what we actually are. On. And if you want to be what you're not, you will be satisfied in illusion. And that puts you in duality and fear. Isn't it difficult? When I gave the Bhakti seminar, I gave this meditation to begin it off. I'm telling you, because a lot of you also will have opportunity to teach. Remember, Linda, you came to me, you were going to teach. Right? So we all become teachers. I gave you my tips. I give good tips. So these meditations are good. So this is the meditation, a 15-hour bhakti seminar. This is the meditation. The meditation I gave was, you can close your eyes, we'll do it. Think of how you want people to think of you. Thank you. What do you do to get people to think that way? Then why? Okay, well, what I tried to show people is even if you said, I like people to think that I'm humble, I like people to think that I'm kind, you actually analyze what you're doing is you want people to think of you in a way that you can actually influence them to control and enjoy the world more. And when one is actually a spiritual person, that stops. I don't care what people think. They're focused differently. They're focused on service. So anyway, so this is how bhakti works. It's a process to move to that position where love flows. And you focus on objects of devotion. The deities, the holy names, the devotees, sacred texts. When I was in that beautiful cathedral, I was inspired. They were chanting hymns to God. And I was so happy for those 250 children who were somehow getting that. And acts of devotion. That's why when you chant the holy name, it's not only important to focus on the holy name to get that bhakti and happiness, that devotion in your heart, it's also important the mood in which you chant it. And in fact, in terms of focusing either on the object of devotion or the acts of devotion are even more powerful. That's why it says the main line in our main teaching and from Chaitanya is what? One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street, more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and ready to offer all respects to others. In such a state of mind, one should chant always. Why? Why can you chant always when you're humble? Because when you're humble, you can do things with devotion, and devotion is pleasure. And when you have pride, you can't do things with devotion. So what we'll do now is I'll just give you an end of the class with those students. In the same way, told a story with the teacher that I met in Vrindavan who had the courage to go to the chaplain and say, and I have a friend, can he speak? And the chaplain says, oh, sure. And I went to the person, Mr. Miles. I said, you really have a lot of confidence. You know, if I say the wrong thing, you're finished. I thought that I would get up there like this and say, okay, 250 students, say, repeat after me. Hare Krishna! Hare! You know, you never can tell. I may be sincere, but I may not have abilities to communicate. I taught all the religion classes, too. Very nice. The last thing I said was a story. This person came to India with me, and we're walking through the fields of India, and it was a flood. I met this farmer. Everything was lost. Everything was lost. And I was telling the students, and I'm speaking to him, this farmer. I'm speaking to this farmer, and he's telling me that he lost 200,000 rupees. All his rose bushes were ripped out. If there's 5,000 temples in Vrindavan and they all have elaborate flowers, they come from someplace, and it's not Lohi Bazaar. It's not the wool market. There's fields, there's gardens, it's beautiful. But very few people know how to get there, but I know the secret. From the Krishna Bhavan Mandir, in 10 minutes, I am in the most beautiful gardens in the world. Hundreds and hundreds of acres. But the flood came. And when you go there, when you know when it's blooming, it's absolutely stunning. So I asked him. He kept on telling me he lost this, he lost that, and plus the Indian system of marriage previously is that the girl would go to the father's house, would go to the house of the husband's house to live with the parents. So the father at that time, when the daughter was going, felt great responsibility and would give his inheritance at that time. It was a very noble thing. Then they made it this dowry system. The poor people, they, you know, okay, you got to give me one new SUV and I want a washing machine. And parents, they get more daughters. But I was telling the students, even if he's telling me his troubles, his heart, his eyes were sparkling. It was like diamonds. There was so much happiness in his heart. It seemed to be emanating from his whole body. So finally I asked him, how can you be so happy? And he said, happiness is a heart-filled emotion. Humble person. And if you think of people, think of someone legitimately humble. Think of someone that you think is a little proud. Who is happiest? So everybody kind of move up now. More people are coming in. And some people may have to. Hare Krishna. Well, you're late, you're losing points. So, our main practice, and this is what become, we're God-centered, we're not self-centered. We live that kind of life, there's ritual, which forms our life to the center. And this relationship with teacher represents that line of teachers and the desire of the God, universal desire, can form our lives with that. And when we're in that position, when we focus on the holy name, then the spirit of devotion awakens. Like a magnet and a piece of metal. Something is drawn out. Now, there's not much time, but what I'm going to do is share with you briefly how I meditate on the Holy Name. Okay? I want you all to relax. Relaxation techniques. The air is related to the mind. Sometimes we just breathe deeply. And I'm just going to lead you through briefly, we don't have much time, 5 different ways in which I focus. So just my own practice. I have five different conceptions. The holy name is many things. Both God, is both a prayer. So, we can chant together. The first thing I do is meditate on the holy name as mantra. And the important thing in mantra is to hear every syllable. Because when you hear every syllable, then the potency of the mantra takes effect. And the potency of the Hare Krishna mantra is to draw energy from the plane of selflessness or love. To direct that energy to the plane of selfishness or karma. And ultimately, to direct that energy to the place of liberation. So the first thing you must always do is chant every syllable. So we'll do that first. And we can just, we'll have a yajna in a way that we'll all chant together. This is what a teacher is supposed to do. He's supposed to speak the holy name. So just hold it up, and you just chant with me. We'll just chant a few mantras, but every syllable. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, every syllable. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Now just chant it in your mind. And I'll give the next meditation. The holy name is also non-different from the divine. It's called Shuddha Brahman. So it's the divine in sound. If you focus on the holy name, then it draws out the nature of your soul, which is to love and serve God. Because we have relationship, and what we focus on in relationship brings out the energy of love. So just meditate now on just feeling and hearing the vibration, because what you hear and what you feel in response to the mantra is your soul. We can all chant together again. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Okay, just think of the mantra in your mind. The third meditation I do is the mantra is prayer. What I do is I listen to the sincerity. I try to find that voice in my heart of devotion. Because we have many voices in our heart. And when you advance in spiritual life, the voice that becomes loudest and all-consuming is the voice that I want to serve. I want you to chant listening to the sincerity of the mantra. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
the mantra. I'll chant silently again. Do so. What meditation I had is I chant the mantra, it shocked your energy. Energy is meant to please its source. So the essence of all energy is love or devotion. So in your mind now, chant the mantra speaking. And if you have a visual sense, you can actually visualize Krishna hearing the mantra because you're chanting it to his pleasure. So you chant the mantra very sweetly. Maybe you can chant again. Hare
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hey, in your mind again, chant. Fifth meditation is looking in the heart and seeing the feelings that we're actually separated from Krishna. We actually haven't attained what we want. Prabhupada said we should chant as a child crying for his mother. So that voice, as Satchinandana Swami says, the voice, the call to God, where are you? Where are you? It's finding that sense of selflessness and spirit in the heart and that desire to be with Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Just chant within your minds. And then the nature of the soul is gratitude. We're grateful for teachers, we're grateful for mantras. And we try to sense, because we should be receiving mercy from the Holy Name. Mercy means undeserved kindness. So we should feel some gratitude. And that gratitude is the light or energy or feeling of the soul. If you're legitimately grateful for the gifts of God, that's coming not from your mind, it's coming from your soul. And it's a wonderful way to actually come in contact with your essence. So chant in the mood of gratitude and feel that energy of gratitude throughout your whole body. And we'll just chant in gratitude. Actually, you can fold your hands before yourself. Sometimes mudra means that if you put yourself body in the right position, the mind will also follow. And I like to do this sometimes, even put my hands together and try to feel the energy of gratitude. That these hands that have been used to put myself in the center, put myself in the illusion that I'm the controller and enjoyer, these hands now will be used for the service of God and others, and to happily put myself as on the periphery in the mood of love and devotion. So we'll just chant a few mantras, especially we can pray for gratitude to Prabhupada, our teachers, and the mantra. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
It was a favorite book of mine when I was young. It was by John Steinbeck. And it was called Of Mice and Men. And a very, very famous statement: the best laid plans of mice and men often go astray. So I had one plan, and the class winded up another plan. Because I've been doing this type of meditation, because a lot of people are coming to spiritual life, and they want to feel connected. And we see even people that come and get connected can't remain connected in the way that they do. So I give them this type of meditation, and actually, you can get people in a very, very deep meditative state, and meditation means you focus on one thing and you don't entertain the mind, the other thoughts, you remain focused. But the group was kind of a little, it was time constraint, and I'm not so advanced that I could sit here talking into the night regardless of what everybody else has to do. I'm very time conscious, so, but that's my job. The job of a teacher in a spiritual line is to give devotional service. It means to give the holy name. And if we can focus on the holy name with attention and the proper intention of service and humility, it will have the maximum effect of taking that energy of selflessness and devotion and putting it in your heart. And these kind of functions are only to bolster that type of conception and that type of view. Myself and for everyone else. The function for me is simple. Let's stay absorbed in objects and acts of devotion, and after 2-3 hours, Madhavatiti Bhakati Janani, says the days of Lord Hari give birth to devotion. We can experience that. You gather together in the proper mood, without offense, and simply absorb yourselves in the various ways of associating with devotees, chanting the holy name, offering prayers, hearing the proper subject matters. It will draw out that thing in the heart that we're actually searching for. And until our heart is filled with that, we'll always be searching to fill the hole in our heart with something. In the Bhakti seminar, I took them to the Radha Govinda Mandir, and I had Achyuta Gopi speak. And she gave a very nice analogy. There's some hole in the heart that's yearning to be filled, but it has a particular shape. She said her young child is always trying to put a round peg in a square hole. Doesn't fit. So what is the lack in our heart? What is the shape of the hole in our heart that needs to be filled to be satisfied? Does it have the shape of Gigabyte? Does it have the shape of sense pleasure? Although that may be required to keep the mind peaceful so we can focus on that goal. It has the shape of devotion. Now, I'm going to stop my talk right now. I've talked long enough. What I'm going to do, Kunshi Kishori, this is it. I'm going to ask Lakshmi to address the group. We'll speak maybe 10 minutes, 15 minutes for some instructions for them. we work together. We actually, with Hatharajni, where is she? Here. We actually work together as a team in preaching, and we started a program called the Bhakti Experience. And because so many people, like never before, are interested in what we have to offer when presented in the appropriate way. And we hold the program at Amiya's house, and her house is being reorganized completely with Krishna in the center. She had a living room, now it's a temple room. She had a bedroom, now it's a guest room for visiting Vaishnavis.
I enjoy
it. It's love. It's love, right. You're more blissful than ever before. We have the program, and myself and Lakshmi, we divide the program up. We just try to give the people an experience. Whatever way is suited at the time. But one thing is constant. But the Rajneesh Sadhu. That's constant. Me and Lakshmi may change. Speak on different subjects. So you could just address them and give them some good instruction.
Om
This is a great honor to celebrate a great day of recognition. Although in his mood, he never really seeks recognition or appreciation. What he does is simply an essential part of him in service to our beloved spiritual master, Prabhupada. So I feel very, very honored to be here and even to have a few moments to express my appreciation of Maharaj. He talks about Guru and principle of Guru, because that is an essential principle in our line, in our teaching, is to seek out that personality who can enlighten us, who can give us knowledge, real knowledge, knowledge about the temporary world and how to exploit it. But real knowledge, knowledge about the self and the self in relationship to the Supreme Self, the Supreme Lord Krishna. Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about five types of knowledge. He talks about sense knowledge, moral knowledge, knowledge of God as the Creator, knowledge of God in His form as Brahman, and ultimately knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which encompasses all the previous four. So when we search out for that personality who provides inspiration and a desire for further association and ultimately leads us to the point of wanting to practice principles, that will help us elevate our consciousness, elevate us to the point of love, true love, pure love, Krishna. And then we don't search out for the person who can give us sense knowledge. There's libraries full of books, thousands and thousands and millions of books, which are based on sense knowledge, sense perception. And some of those perceptions are quite brilliant, as sense knowledge goes, in terms of the world around us, its components, how to interact with its components, etc.
Sure.
The Guru doesn't just give us sense knowledge, because ultimately it's about a temporary world. And the more we intermix with the temporal, the less we feel satisfied, because our true nature is of an eternal nature. So how can that entity of an eternal nature be satisfied with simply knowledge of the contemporary. It doesn't, we're using Chita Gopi's analogy, it doesn't fill that void. And I think all of you, when you first came to the realization that there was something more to this life than the mortal coil that surrounded you, you wanted to know, you wanted to ask that question, what is it?
The last word.
You've been to school, you've heard from various teachers, all kinds of sense knowledge, and knowledge of the mind, and knowledge of the intellect, and somehow another before the name. Then, Buckman talks about that once we have sense knowledge, based on sense knowledge, there's moral knowledge. Everyone wants to diminish pain and increase pleasure. Morality is a kind of a higher level of utilization of sense knowledge to recognize it in such a way that we can increase our pleasure, diminish our pain, but it's still based on the sense perception, and it's still based on the moral. So it still doesn't deal, fulfill or fill the void that's within the heart. The third kind of knowledge is knowledge of God, or recognition that there is God, and we see Him in a very kind of superficial way. God is the creator. God is the power, the higher power. And we see Him in that way. And ultimately, the vision is in that way is because we want to become relieved from the pains, the dualities that are there. So we recognize that it's possible that this higher power it's a selfish desire to be relieved from pain, to relieve from the reactions that are there to my action, within my interaction of the spirit world. And then there's the knowledge of Brahman. And when we kind of get into an analytical mindset and we begin to look at, just like Krishna describes in the Bhagavad Gita, the whole first portion of the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, he's making this analysis. You're not this, you are this, you're not that, you're not something that burns by fire, or withered by the wind, or moistened by water. That's not you. You are eternally individual. Never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these things, when the future shall cease to be. That the body, he gives an analysis of the body and the changeability of the body, etc., and he gives us that knowledge. So in knowledge of Brahman, it's a kind of a negative approach. You're not this. What you are is that. You're Atman, your spirit, and then try to recognize the essential spiritual component that underlies everything. But still, it's not totally satisfying because there's not exchange, loving exchange. So real guru gives us the fifth type of knowledge, and that's knowledge of the divine loving exchange between the soul, the essential spiritual entity that we are, and the Supreme Soul, Lord Sri Krishna. That is, from all of our acharyas, that was his emphasis about what is a teacher, what is a guru, whether that guru is of the diksha nature, of the shiksha nature, or of both. That is, he can give you that knowledge, that kind of insight. He can teach you about not only the nature of the soul as a spiritual spark, but the soul's eternal position in relationship to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, and love. And who does not want to be loved? Who does not want to give love? Love transcends all cultures, all body types, all mindsets, etc. Everyone wants love, experience love, and wants to give love. Because love is the essential nature of the soul. But what love means too is a unique understanding that Brahman, the one underlying principle, divides into two. Simply, that there is relationship. And the two is Jiva and himself. So that there can be love, and so that there can be reciprocation. So the principle of guru which is coming from Krishna through Balaram, and then Balaram down through the Guru, etc., is that Guru will teach us how to love. I received a text the other day from a friend of ours in North Carolina, and she was trying to entice us to move back to North Carolina and you know, to start a little community there up in the mountains. And I told her, I don't want to retire. I want to be in New Jersey, and I want to preach alongside Damodar Maharaj. But she wrote me one thing. She said, and it was such a beautiful statement in my mind. She said, please come back. She said, I need to know. I just want to fall in love with God. And I need someone to help me fall in love with God. And I thought that was so beautiful. You know, we read books, and I want to fall in love with this person of my dreams, and I want to fall in love with that person of my dreams. And she said, I need help. I just want to fall in love with God. And I thought, well, that was the essence. The God divides into two. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He has his Jiva Shakti, so that there's two, and two means reciprocation, loving reciprocation. Without any, and what does love mean? Love means that we give of ourselves with no expectation of return. And even it's described by the Acharyas that even when we have all right to get out of the relationship, love means we still don't want to get out of the relationship. Krishna, you treat me roughly by your embrace. You make me brokenhearted. I have all rights to get out of this relationship, but I cannot even think of getting out of this relationship. So what Guru does, the Guru Tattva principle, is that spiritual master teaches us first to have Guru Bhakti, how to serve Guru. Not because Guru wants to be served. In fact, his qualification to be in that position is he wants nothing for himself. He only wants for Krishna. Compassion is not of a mundane nature. Compassion for the body, compassion for your mind. Compassion means the eternal position of the soul, that Guru wants to put you in relationship with the Supreme Lord Krishna, to engage in loving exchanges with Krishna, and that is compassion, because he knows that if we don't engage in that loving reciprocation, then what will happen? We will continue our suffering. So it is a thankless task to be in that position. You see Maharaj, he drives around this little broken down Toyota Corolla. He has very little possessions, no place really, you know, that he can, there's no mortgage in his name, nothing like that. He just simply lives a very simple life, especially if you see him in Vrindavan, you see the simple life that he lives. And he lives that life in service to Srila Prabhupada and Srila Prabhupada's mission. And Srila Prabhupada is our template for Guru in this age. He has come because it's not only that we study the book Bhagavat, but we need person Bhagavat. Because book Bhagavat will say so many things, but the person Bhagavat lives those things. And through their life, they are a practical demonstration. We need things that are practical and practicable. We need things that are practically implemented and we are able to practice it ourselves. And the principle of Guru is as such that we need that personality in our life that is a practical demonstration of what's being spoken about by the Acharyas, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Bhakti Nantra. And we understand and we notice that within their teachings, their words, and their life, there is a verse in the Bhagavata, book Bhagavata, that supports everything. You see, in Srila Prabhupada's life, in his teachings, everything that he did, all the interaction, all the relationships that he had, there's a verse in the Bhagavatam or the Bhagavad Gita that supports everything. This is the real meaning of heavy, Guru as heavy, because they are weighted with the transcendental knowledge which has been given to us by Krishna through the medium, through the mechanism of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. When you read Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he makes some practical recommendation in terms of how to live our life. Underneath in the footnote,
are three or four Bhagavatam verses to support it, to support. I was reading the other day, and he said, how did he get that? And then, you know, there's the footnote number, and I read in the Bhagavatam verse. And then in relationship to the realization, there's a Bhagavatam verse that supports it. What have I been reading all these years? And you see, and sometimes Mara says things that are very simple, you know, about the holy name, or about practicing bhakti, and I'm thinking to myself, how did I miss that? How did I miss that point? So, my appreciation is for him as a friend, for him as a teacher, and I am so grateful to Krishna that he has given me the opportunity to be in association with devotees of this caliber. And Prabhupada has created a whole house full of devotees, you know, of many different calibers. But he's given us the opportunity to come together in Sangha, in association, to be able to have this kind of this caliber of association, so that we will understand this knowledge of Bhagavatam by the personal example of the person Bhagavatam. Knowledge, the Vedic paradigm for knowledge is four different components. One is to hear. So from Guru we hear. The second component is to reflect. And that's our obligation. But usually by inspiration coming from Guru, he gives us knowledge, and it causes us to reflect. Unless we're totally lazy, we don't want to think about what's being spoken, like sometimes myself, let it come in. But actually, the Vedic paradigm is to hear and then to reflect. And then the third aspect is to assimilate. And again, that's our responsibility. So it's not only that we look for a bona fide guru, it's we have to also have the responsibility of becoming a bona fide disciple. Our duty, our obligation is to hear from Guru, but then we have to reflect upon what he said. How does that apply to me, my particular situation, where I'm at today, now, the here and now? How is it practically applied? How is it practical? How can I do it? So the knowledge, the hearing that knowledge, reflecting on that knowledge, the assimilation of that knowledge, how do I incorporate it in my day-to-day, moment-to-moment existence? And finally, the obligation of the disciples to take that knowledge and distribute it. Just as my spiritual master has made all efforts in his life to go out and to teach, to give up all comfort, to give up any kind of sense pleasure in service to Krishna, and thus experience the highest pleasure by virtue of that service to Krishna, how can I become a good disciple and also disseminate that knowledge? So to hear it, reflect upon it, to assimilate it, and then in gratitude to our spiritual master for everything that he's done, all the austerities that he's performed, how do I give it out? How do I distribute it to others? Knowing with full conviction and full faith that if I do so, then I will be an assistant to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to all the acharyas, Srila Prabhupada and my guru. I will be an assistant in this whole strategy for helping jivas become free from their suffering condition, to taste the love that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has brought us and mercifully distributed to us, regardless of qualification. So today is the celebration of the Vyasa Puja, the Guru, and to reflect on what that action means to you. It's just another day that we come together. Jai Jai Haribo, thank you, Maharaj. And the 364 days of the year, we forget about that. And then next year, Jai Jai Haribo, Maharaj, and then the other two, until life passes by so quickly, so fleetingly. But it is meant to stimulate, to jumpstart the reflection process, and the attempt to assimilate. To observe within the character of our own spiritual master, his life and his dedication, his conviction, his realization, etc. So that it jump starts within our own minds, within our own lives, the reflective process, the assimilation process, and ultimately to give us the inspiration by which we can distribute this knowledge to others. And just as to whatever degree we are applying instructions of Guru and we are feeling the relief from the pangs of the material onslaught, that we can have that same kind of compassion, reflective of that same kind of compassion, and understand in all honesty that if I make this attempt to distribute this knowledge as I've heard it, then I will also be an instrument in relieving the suffering of others. So this is, in a nutshell, the principle of Guru. I thank Dhanadhar Swami for his friendship and for his constant flow of encouragement and his example through thick and thin. His only desire is to serve Prabhupada and to spread the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu without any need for recognition or acclaim or fame or any of that. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that all the opulences, whether it's beauty or wealth or renunciation or strength, right? The most dangerous is fame. So sometimes Krishna puts us in a position, be so kind that we may not get fame or notoriety, but a true devotee just sees that as greater facilitation for preaching. This way we can be under the radar and just have as our only thought and our only motivation. And so it's Krishna. Thank you very much.
I'd just like to welcome His Holiness Dhanananda Swami. It's such a wonderful surprise. I don't know. Some of you may know him, some of you may not. Very, very senior disciple of Srila Prabhupada, who has dedicated himself to spreading the holy name around the world. And he'll stay here for a couple of hours and he can get his association. But truly a person whose heart's filled with devotion. Truly.
Marge, maybe I'd like to show you the deities here.
I'll be reading the
meaning of the Yatra Puja, and the serum was written by Bretchke Short. Jayam Vishnipad Parma Hamsa Pari Bhakacharya Sota Sarta Sri Shripad Dhanadar Swami Maharaj Kijai. May my God brothers and sisters themselves, limitless oceans of dedication and devotion to Sri Guru, be pleased with my flawed attempt to overlook my glaring audacity. May Sri Guru be glorified ever increasingly without limit. May the ever joyful Sriman Giridhari Dala, who delights in the glorification of his servitors, effortlessly overcome the insurmountable ocean of my egocentric ignorance. May his deaf virtuosity craft my stuttering words into something worthy of this most auspicious occasion. To one without spiritual eyes, worship of Sri Guru appears wrong. Worship must be given to God, not man, he protests. Similarly, one without modern eyes, speaking into a telephone seems insane. Speak to people, not things, he says. The ignorance of these two blind fools is similar. The latter is ignorant of the fact that we can speak not to a phone, but through it. The former is ignorant of the fact that Vyasa Puja worships not man, but God operating through man. Sri Guru is not God, but God operates through Sri Guru, just as the soul operates through the body. We therefore perceive a peculiar difference and non-difference between Krishna and Guru, similar to the ontological difference, yet functional sameness between being and its body. When awareness of this link between Guru and Krishna illuminates our perception, we can truly participate in Vyasa Puja. Sri Krishna is so pleased by appropriate worship of his functional self, Sri Guru, that the petals we offer to the feet of Sri Guru seem to become reddish from the kumkum powder falling from the ever-dancing feet of Nathabhar Krishna. The breeze we move towards Sri Guru with our fans seems to create the breezes moving through the lotus feet of the Yamuna, which cool Sri Banga Sundar and carry his intoxicating perfume to Srimati Radharani. Let us declare the glorious nature of the Supreme Personality Godhead, Sri Vamsidhari Ras Bihari, the personification of perfection of ecstasy. In doing so, we will clarify how Sri Guru fulfills his aim. God's sole ambition is pleasure. Is it shocking? No. It is self-evident, and enjoyment is the meaning of life, and the Upanishads confirm this by declaring Ananda Maya to be the final stage of life's evolution. God is the supreme life, so naturally his one and only occupation is to enjoy bliss. The unbridled desire for pleasure which rages in the heart of the supreme being may baffle and shock the unprepared mind, but this infinite and absolute hedonism engenders no apology. Rather, it is to be glorified and praised as the most natural, righteous, and pure thing in existence. It is, in fact, the root cause of all that peace. God is one, but in solitude and uniformity, pleasure is drastically crippled. Therefore, ego bhava bhavasya, one is dedicated to be many. Thus, everything and everyone came to be, all of it for Sri Krishna's sense gratification. My friends, hear me clearly. We are not enjoyers. We are objects of his enjoyment. Alas, how our souls hunger to be relished by him, to be enjoyed by the supreme enjoyer. It is an unbearable thing, crushing the life within our breast. But baffled by our upside-down, opposite world, we vainly try to satisfy that aching hunger through sense gratification. In such, we only increase our pain, taste bitter misery, die in vain, and are reborn in the crazy hope of trying again, bashing our skulls against brick walls of impossibility, in an eternal, hopeless, and endless, unending cycle. Dear one, please open your heart to my words. You are part and parcel of bliss. You are meant to be pleased, the origin of all bliss. Let the flower of your heart be enjoyed by that Madhusudana bee. Your aching soul will not stop breaking until you abandon and throw yourself at the feet of the supreme enjoyer. Krishna wants to tell us this, and it is through Sri Guru that he does so. As a gopi picks flowers, sorts them out, arranges them, and strings them into a garland. Similarly, Sri Guru takes the raw material of a destitute materialistic heart and turns it into something which Krishna finds attractive, enchanting, and delightful. We are unruly and resist. We don't care very much for the sadhana Guru gives, although it is the very thing that can transform us from a vile, lonely hag and to a beautiful goddess of fortune. We are dumb and useless, but Sri Guru is all-powerful, and his compassion is ever fresh. Alas, Gurudev, take one brief look at me, miserable, ruined, and self-destructive. Crush my heart. My crushed heart doesn't even function. All merits flee from the stench of my ego, and I lack the integrity to admit it. I need a miracle, Gurudev, and an impossible miracle. Please bring me the light of Bhava and Prema into the eternal night of my black and dead heart. Even in this, I am selfish. Gurudev, I am so ugly. Only you can make me beautiful and attractive to Sri Krishna. Why wait? Destroy every obstacle and place us in our proper spot in Sri Vrindavan Dham. We will never be ready for this blessing. We will never deserve this blessing. We are nothing but lepers and rags, appealing to your pity. Sri Krishna has invested you with the power to make us like the gopis of Vrindavan. Krishna te tumara, Krishna dite paro, tama, tumaras, shakati, ache, ami kamura, Krishna, Krishna bodo, dhyaswati, swamati, ache, ache.
Yeah, it's Rajiv Kishore, right?
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't say his name, though. But I heard him earlier. Right?
Yeah. Yes, I'd like to ask Dr. Kishore to go with you.
It's just, I'm very time conscious, so let you know your schedule.
About 1 or 1:15, it should go through here. That's 12:30, and then we finish up with the ceremony.
Dear Guru Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. All glory to you on this auspicious day. I want to thank you for another year of being caring and nurturing towards my family and I. No matter what situation we are in, good or bad, or whatever consciousness we may be in, you are always there for us to be our well-wisher, provide positive inspiration for us to move forward in our spiritual lives, and always provide us with humor. I just spent yesterday with Kirti Radharaja and our families at the Brooklyn Museum to see the Vishnu, Hinduism's blue-skinned savior, exhibit. I heard Kirti say that her Guru Maharaj would often say that Krishna consciousness should be fun. After all, Krishna is very playful and mischievous, right? This reminded me of you, as you often interact with everyone in a humorous way. This year, you were telling us about what a wonderful time you had at the Raj Temple in Pennsylvania. You were describing all the places in Vrindavan that they have created there and what other places they are looking to create. You said that they are doing this so people can come there to experience Vrindavan, as many of us won't be able to travel to Vrindavan in the future. After you said that, Kishore looked at you with a puzzled look on her face and said, well, why is that? You looked at me, started laughing, and said, ask Ron Paul.
The joke is he's a little bit into that. That's not why I didn't like it. It was a joke with his wife. He doesn't really like that he does that.
Inside joke. You are always able to read our minds, make light of material circumstances, and always present practical spiritual solutions. In my offering a few years ago, I wrote, a big issue on our minds this year has been the current economic problems going on and the unrighteous leaders of the world. When I mentioned this to you, you stated that this is a great time to practically simplify one's life, and that you are also taking this to simplify your life. We are very appreciative of how you always view issues both practically and from a spiritual perspective. You stated that the following in one of your Sangha classes, Americans are spoiled, and when one becomes spoiled, he is not appreciative of what is given to him. No matter what the parent gives to a spoiled child, he is never thankful and never satisfied, and therefore he doesn't experience the love of a parent. A healthy consciousness is to evaluate your life and look at how you are living, the wastage, personally with food, not do the American just stuff the refrigerator. The Indian system is really great. No refrigerator. You cook what you can eat, and when you're hungry, again, you cook. Eating, storing, throwing things away, and wasting. Having people cook for you and having canned prepared food. It is the whole life you become used to this, and it retards our dependence on Krishna. We have created a life of artificial luxury and artificial necessity. American culture is that whatever desires we need to fulfill are pursued without any consideration of the use of energy or exploitation of resources. We are caught up in it, and it is a kind of karma. Karma is selfishness and inconsideration. Simple living brings a greater dependence and love for God. People need to change their lifestyle or they will be in a lot of distress. I am still trying to live my life in this way, and I thank you for the inspiration. Our spiritual master is the ocean of mercy, the friend of the poor, the Lord and master of the devotees. O Master, be merciful unto me. Give me the shade of your lotus feet. Your fame is spread all over the three worlds. We take shelter of your lotus feet. You are the friend of the most all. Hare Krishna, your servant, with the t-shirt.
You've really been especially graced with the presence of Jananda Maharaj. He's really a special soul. You know, whole society really, if the way it should work is that those who are on top, if you want to be on the top, then you have to be renounced. If you want all the power, then you have to be in the number two position, and that's the main position. You want to be the king and the ruler, you're number two. You're under the people who are renounced. If you want to be on the top, then you have to renounce things. And that way, a society moves towards simplicity. And you have the leaders that are very renounced. But his renunciation is a heart full of love and attachment to the holy name. And I really feel honored that on his way to another program, he's able to stop here for a few minutes. So he really has to go now. So, Marge, you'd just like to bless them with some words of inspiration. You're very honored. Thank you. I feel a bit embarrassed now. I'm very privileged to be here. Thank you so much for this opportunity, this association, on this holy day, truly holy day. And I should be grateful to all of you that are here. Thank you so much for inspiring. And I said, I'm supposed to give some words to inspire you. You're inspiring me. And Maharaj is also, although we've known each other probably for a little bit, 30 years more than this year in Zala, basically. Okay. So in service there, and what can I say? You're so fortunate. You don't realize it sometimes, just how fortunate you are to have an association. The mind is associated with who we actually are, whatever your purpose is. Maharaj certainly does that, at least. The awareness of the awareness of the beings that are pleasing them. They have a couple of Vindavan and really quality in that mood of Vindavan, non-envious, sacrifice that mood of giving, sharing. And it's so nice here today because I just feel like Shiva Prabhupada. I don't want to feel like that. It's just so nice to see the world from so many different backgrounds and cultures coming together with a central focus. It's very beautiful. I thought that to bring everyone together. We're all under the same banner. We all have our little parts to play. I don't have much of a part, but I'm sharing
so much for the will and the legacy of so much wonderful Sangha, teaching, association. I don't know much, you know, much more than whatever little I've done. Many of our inspirations with the VIAG, the surest ways of sharing Krishna consciousness. Sacrificing yourself, you know, understand your message of Shri Gopa. As we heard, he gives us the dangers of things. As you carry on with Father Bishop, every town and village, all the people, no matter who we are, we all basically know that we're all in the same town. And it's just like a wonderful town. I feel like coming here is just a wonderful orchestra. Everyone has this instruments which we're playing, maybe good at one instrument, then there's another, another. But it's perfect if we take our little parts, play our part accordingly, and work under that wonderful directorship called that. Everything becomes so sweet. The sound becomes so harmonious, so sweet. We all play our own little session. It's not going to be very effective, nor very sweet. You just have to learn this little secret. There are maybe many differences in it. Ultimately, you know, the passing phases help us realize our actual relationship with Krishna, to realize what we think of sound. That's the point. We just did one country just now. The boy who was running that particular area of their preaching, it's quite an autocratic leader, you could say. It's like my way or the highway. Nice devotee it was. And he had a very heavy experience, a really serious cast. Survived. He said it's the most amazing thing that happened in his life. He just suddenly realized all these passing so called, you know, priorities, important things, this. They're all pretty significant. They're all important. Very. The most sacred is the real purpose. The real purpose for their lives. Fellowship. Fellow Krishna. Fellowship, Father, instruction. The whole movie towards all this world changes. And how it becomes all. And he was given from the root just the courage and all the words. And beautiful. He wrote small, this and all that one. I studied that way. In my little day. The all embracing compassion and virtue of Father. We put movement the whole world, house the whole world lift. If we want to see the advice that we got, we'll get a wonderful offering. Our heart is dedicated. Whatever the part we should play, that we should spread the glorious mission that you have. Thank you, Raj. Thank you.
Dhananand Maharaj ki
jai.
So nice to see the real thing.
I'm just going to start. Just make sure I'm gone.